morning to turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Book of Ruth, chapter 2, and we'd like to read the entire chapter. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field, and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? When thou art athirst, go to the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. Thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproacheth her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin to us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. The book of Ruth is very important in connection with the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. Without the book of Ruth, you cannot connect the house of David with the tribe of Judah. So it's a very important book. It is a story of love and devotion. It's a story of redemption. And it's set in the context of the period of the judges. We see that from Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1, that it was during the time when the judges ruled that the book of Ruth transpired. And those, of course, were very dark days in Israel's history. In fact, it was the dark ages of Israel's history, because all the victories that they had enjoyed under Joshua was now followed by a widespread spiritual declension. And we see there was a national departure from God. Faithlessness was everywhere. Permissiveness was everywhere. It was a time of rebellion. It was a time of immorality. It was a time of great irresponsibility. And Ruth stands in contrast of all of this for her purity, for her faith, for her responsible living. And the book of Ruth paints a picture of redemption, the redemption that is in Christ and Christ alone. It's a story of a foreign girl, Ruth, who came out of paganism and idolatry from the land of Moab. She came from a people that were an outcast people. And we see that Boaz said to her, "Under whose wings thou art come to trust." That is, she had trusted in the Lord as her Savior. And this is the reason that she left Moab. God didn't save her when she left Moab. This was the reason she left Moab, because God saved her when she was in Moab. And she turned from idolatry to the living God. She was one of God's children. The book also paints a picture of the providence of God. Again, the book describes very common people, describes common things. But all the people in the book of Ruth were being guided by the mysterious hand of the Lord. And it teaches us that the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful in His business of love. The Lord is faithful in His business of superintending and providentially caring for His people. We see the providence of God all through the book of Ruth. In the first five verses of chapter 1, a tale of woe is told. In those five brief verses, you read of a famine, you read of three funerals, you read of three widows that were left behind to mourn and find a way to live. Again, the book opens with a famine. There was a famine in the land. Because of that, Elimelech felt it necessary to move his wife and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, to Moab. So we see a family moving from Bethlehem, Judah, down into the land of Moab. And it was in Moab, we read in Ruth 1, verse 3, that Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And then we read in verse 4 of chapter 1 that her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, eventually took them wives of the women of Moab. And then in verse 5 we read that Mahlon and Chilion died. So now you have three widows. You have Naomi, you have Orpah, and you have Ruth. By the gracious providence of God, Naomi, in verse 6, heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. In other words, the famine was coming to an end. Upon hearing that, Naomi decides to return to her homeland, return to Judah. And we know that Ruth returned with Naomi to the land of Judah. We read in verse 19 of chapter 1, "So they too, That is, Ruth and Naomi went until they came to Bethlehem. And we read in verse 22 of chapter 1, "So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her." That brings us to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, we see Ruth, a woman from Moab, a stranger in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And we see her gleaning in the field of Boaz. And to glean simply means to obtain. It means to get, to take, to garner, to gather. And to glean grain or other produce in those days was part of Mosaic law, part of the Mosaic system. The harvesters, of course, would walk through the fields, cutting the stalks, binding them in the sheaves. And the poor and the strangers, and Ruth was both. She was poor, and she was a stranger in the land. The poor and the strangers were allowed to walk behind the harvesters and gather the stalks that were lying on the ground. This was God's way of providing for the poor. So we see Ruth gleaning in the field. But what I want you to notice is Ruth was a very successful gleaner. For we read in verse 17 that what she had was about an ephah of barley. Now that was a very generous amount for one day of gleaning. It'd be about 30 pounds that Ruth had gleaned in that day. Now, from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, we'll not turn there to save time, but an ephah was 10 omers, there in Exodus 16, verse 36. And an omer of manna was adequate for the needs of one man for a day. And she gathered 10 times the need for one day. So Ruth was a very successful gleaner. We read in verse 17 of chapter 2 that she had gleaned in the field until evening. So I want to speak this morning on the subject of learning to glean from the handfuls of purpose. We want to take the thought of the message from verse 16, where Boaz said to his reapers, "Let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her." That is, I want you to drop some of the stalks on purpose for her. And then we read that she gleaned in the field until the evening. A truth that we must realize is that there is much to glean for the child of God. Again, to glean is to obtain, to get, to gather. For the child of God, no matter what changes come into our lives, no matter what circumstances come into our lives, and no matter what situation we find ourselves in, God's in control. And God decrees things to happen. And God allows things to happen. And He does so with purpose. And He does so on purpose. And everything that God does works together for the good of God's people. And is meant for the good of the Lord's people. Everything that comes to pass in our lives, no matter what it is, there are things that God has dropped on purpose for you and I to glean. That's always true. Every single day, God, just like Boaz, drops things on purpose so that you and I can glean that day. Again, Boaz, we read in verse 1, was a mighty man of wealth. And he had something for Ruth. God has something for us. God has something for each of his children. So we need to believe this, that in everything that comes to pass in our lives, there's something to glean. Whether it be dire straits, whether it be sorrow, grief, heartache, trouble, distress, anxiety, annoyance, disturbance, hardships, strains, losses, misery, suffering, anguish, pain, affliction. No matter what comes our way, God drops some things on purpose in those times for you and I to glean. I believe that is always true. Whatever comes to pass in our lives, just like Boaz took notice of Ruth, so the Lord takes notice of us, and he makes sure that there's something in every circumstance, in every situation, for us to glean. He drops things. He lets them fall. And he lets them fall right where we are. Things that are precious. Things that will be of great help to us. Things that will be of great encouragement to us. Things that will strengthen us and comfort us. Do you believe that today? That no matter what your situation, God has let some things fall right into your path. That if you can glean them, you will find them to be very precious. You will find them to be of great help. You will find them to be of great encouragement. And you will find them to be things that will strengthen you. But not only that, he drops things in our path that will prepare us for whatever circumstances, whatever situations are going to come next. He drops things in our paths that will assure us and things that will draw us closer to him, if we would only glean them, if we'd only bend down and pick them up. Things that will bless us. And they're there. No matter what your circumstance, no matter what your situation, God has let these things fall. They're there for you. But we have to glean them. We have to bend down and gather them up in order to obtain and to get and to take what God would have for us. So there's much to be gleaned. We have to believe that. Secondly, we've already said Ruth was a very successful gleaner. And there's much we can learn from her success in gleaning. It seems to me that if certain circumstances come into our life and we don't glean anything, it's been a waste. It's been a waste. And let's be honest, there are many circumstances that we've wasted because we have failed to glean. But Ruth was a very successful gleaner. And I believe her success in gleaning goes back to the fact that she was surrendered. She was committed, and she was dedicated to the Lord. You go back to chapter 1. Again, we'll not read those verses to save time. But when Naomi was set to leave Moab and head back to Judah, she encouraged her daughters-in-law, that is, Orpah and Ruth, to remain in their homeland, to remain in Moab. And Orpah, after much weeping and much embracing Naomi, she did return. She returned to Moab. And it had to be heartbreaking for Ruth. It had to be a very difficult and trying time when Ruth saw Orpah kiss Naomi and then depart and head back to Moab. Orpah had turned her back on Naomi. She had turned her back on Ruth. But more tragically, she had turned her back on Naomi's God. And she had turned her back upon the place for God's people. That is Bethlehem, Judah. So what is Ruth? What is Ruth going to do? She's faced with the same decision. Well, we see there in verse 14, but Ruth of chapter 1 clave unto her. And as Ruth was cleaving unto Naomi, Naomi said unto Ruth, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back." That is, Ruth, look, she's going back. And all Ruth could see was the back of Orpah. But Ruth clave to Naomi. The reason is because Ruth not only loved Naomi, I believe that Ruth had fallen in love with Naomi's God, that God had saved her soul. And now Ruth wanted to be in the place for God's people. And Ruth knew that back in Moab, God was hated and God was renounced. So having fallen in love with God, Ruth clave unto Naomi. She was making a choice. She was making a choice to follow God. She was making a choice to follow God at all costs. She was making a choice to separate herself from that which was displeasing to God. She was separating herself from her old life, from her old lifestyle. And even though Naomi painted a very bleak picture, and even though Naomi clearly told Ruth, "Ruth, I have nothing to offer thee," Ruth clave unto her. Even though Naomi gave Ruth no promises for the future, Ruth clave to her. That's commitment. That's dedication. And Ruth declares, as you read on there in chapter 1, Ruth declares her complete abandonment of her former life and all the possible advantages that it had to offer. And she committed herself to the unknown paths of God. We read there in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16. She had made a total commitment that extended all the way to death. She devotes every second of every remaining day to walking with the Lord and to getting to Bethlehem, Judah. For her, there would be no looking back. She was dedicated. She committed herself with absolutely no limits whatsoever. It was a decision of faith. She believed that the God of Naomi would take care of her and God would bless her. And we read there in chapter 1 that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go. No matter how rough the way, no matter how difficult and trying the way, and no matter how much it might cost or wherever it might take Ruth, she was steadfastly minded to go. So she went with Naomi. But this is the foundation of successful gleaning: surrender, dedication, commitment to the Lord. But then notice there in chapter 2, having arrived in Judah, Ruth one day said to Naomi there in verse 2, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn." Ruth was dedicated, but Ruth also realized that there was some gleaning to be done. No matter what your circumstance, no matter what your situation, however bad you might think it might be, you need to remain committed to God, remain dedicated to God, remain surrendered to God, and realize that there is some gleaning to be done even in these circumstances. And that's what Ruth realized. She realized that there was some gleaning to be done. Now, this is quite a contrast to Naomi. Naomi was exhausted. She was tired. She was depressed. She was worn out. And she was bitter. Notice in chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. And she said unto them, this is in response to their question, is this Naomi? Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. God has been unkind to me. God has dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? And I believe Naomi was content to stay at home and die a bitter old woman. She had no intention of going out there to glean. But Ruth rose up one day and said, Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean. Ruth realized that there was something out there, that God had something for her. And she was ready to go. So she stepped out in faith. She didn't know where she was going. She didn't know to which field she was going. She was a stranger in the land. She was from the land of Moab. She was hated. She didn't know how she was going to be treated, but she believed this: God has something out there for me, and I've got to go and glean today. So she left. And we read in verse 3, her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. And from the human viewpoint, it was just happenstance. But it was God that led her to that field. Again, theologically, it is very important that Ruth get to the field of Boaz. It's very important that Boaz be there and see Ruth. Going back to the genealogy of Christ. Because if Ruth does not get to that field, if Ruth and Boaz do not come together, Christ would never be born in Bethlehem. It was God who led Ruth to the field of Boaz. She stepped out in faith, and God directed her to the very spot to where she would glean. And if you and I would learn in all of our circumstances to realize that God has something for us, we need to glean it, we need to step out by faith, God will always direct you to the right place, no matter what your circumstance is. He will direct you to the place where you can glean, where you can be helped, encouraged, and strengthened. Now, you can sit at home with Naomi if that's what you want to do. Or you can go out and glean with Ruth. So she realized that there was some gleaning to be done. Thirdly, she remained in the field that God led her to. In verse 3, we read that she gleaned in the field after the reapers. And in verse 7, in response to the servant of Boaz, or the servant of Boaz responding to Boaz's question, whose damsel is this? He said, she came and hath continued from the morning until now. She stepped out in faith. God led her to the field where she would glean the most, and she was content to stay there. There's where we go wrong many times. We think because it's a circumstance that I don't like, God's led me to this field, but I've got to get out of here. And we go somewhere else. You stay where God led you, and there'll be something to glean. That'll be true every single time. Not only did God lead her as she stepped out in faith, He led her to the field where she would be brought face to face with Boaz. And that's how God will lead anybody who steps out in faith. He'll lead them to the right place, and He'll lead them to the place where they'll come face to face with Jesus Christ. Every single time. Boaz, we read, was a mighty man of wealth. He had everything that Ruth needed. And when she stepped out in faith, not knowing where she was going, God led her to the field of Boaz. And once Ruth was in the field of Boaz, in Ruth's way of thinking, there wasn't any reason to go anywhere else. And there isn't for you and I either. She said, there's no need for me to go anywhere else to glean. And we see in verse 8 that Boaz said, go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. He said, Ruth, you don't need to go anywhere else. Everything you need is right here. Oh, that Elimelech would have learned that lesson. That's another message. But notice that this was a field, the field that God led her to. Many seem to think that if you live by faith, that you're living dangerously. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you live by sight, you're living dangerously. If you're living by human reasoning, you're living dangerously. It's never dangerous to live by faith. And Ruth stepped out in faith, and God led her to this particular field where she could glean. But I want you to notice it was in this field that Ruth found protection. There in verse 9, Boaz said, Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? He said, Ruth, you remain right here. Nobody's going to hurt you. Nobody's going to harm you. I have made sure that you will be protected. Not only did she have protection, but she also had the assurance that she would have everything she needed. Notice again in verse 9, when thou art athirst, he said, I want you to go to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Ruth, when you get thirsty, there's water. There's water in the field of Boaz. We see also that all of this humbled her. In verse 10, she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground. This is key to successful gleaning. Not only do we need to be committed to the Lord, not only do we need to realize that there is something for us to glean, and not only do we need to be led to the right field, but we also need to be humbled and thankful and remain in a spirit of worship. And this is what she did. She worshiped. You have to maintain a spirit of worship. If you're going to glean in dire circumstances, you have to have a spirit of worship. If you become bitter, if you begin to feel sorry for yourself and all of these things, you're not going to be a successful gleaner. But if you maintain a spirit of worship, you can always glean something out of every situation. Out of every situation, you will find something that God has dropped on purpose for you. We see as a result of her worshiping, she received comfort from Boaz. She said in verse 13, thou hast comforted me. That is, she felt his support. She felt his reassurance. And when in dire straits, when you can feel the support and reassurance of the Lord, and you do that when you maintain a spirit of worship, that'll help you in gleaning. You feel the support of Boaz. We see also that she heard a special invitation from Boaz in verse 14. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither. That is, come over for dinner. Orpah was never invited to the table of Boaz, because Orpah was never in the field of Boaz. Orpah went back to Moab. Naomi was not invited. Naomi's sitting at home. But Ruth stepped out by faith, and God led her to this field, brought her face to face with Boaz. And now Boaz invites her to dinner. He says, at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of thy bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. Oh, how that must have thrilled the heart of Ruth. Those who are hungry And those who realize that God has something for them, and those who step out in faith will be led to the right field at the right time and will find themselves face to face with Jesus Christ. And they will hear things that no one else hears. They will hear that invitation, come. And that's what Ruth heard that day. And all of this is a part of successful gleaning. Notice in verse 14 that she had special communion with Boaz. We read there in verse 14, she sat beside the reapers, and he, that is Boaz, reached, and the word reached simply means passed, past her parched, roasted corn. To glean successfully, you have to take time to sit with the Lord. And that's what Ruth is doing. She's now sitting at the same table with Boaz. The truth that we need to learn is the Lord never puts such heavy labor on us that we don't have any time to sit at His table. That we don't have any time to sit at His feet. This is essential to successful gleaning. Like Ruth, we need to draw near. We need to eat from the table that He has prepared. But notice, He reached her parched corn, or He passed her parched corn. That means He shared what He had with her. This is key. This is key getting through anything. He shared with her. He partook, she partook of what belonged to Boaz. And furthermore, we read in verse 14, and she did eat and was sufficed. That is, she was quite satisfied. You know why we're not satisfied? It's because we're eating at the wrong table. She ate at the table of Boaz, and she was satisfied. And then we read, and left. And the reason she left, we see in verse 15, and when she was risen up to glean. So here, she's out there gleaning in the field. She comes face to face with Boaz, and Boaz says, at mealtime, I want you to stop gleaning for a while, and I want you to come to my house, and I want you to eat with my servants. And I want you to sit down at the table that I have prepared. And she did that, and she ate, and she was satisfied. She now has strength to do what? To go out and glean some more. And that's what she did. And that's key to successful gleaning. If we're going to glean, even in dire circumstances, even in dire straits, we have to spend time at the table of Boaz, and then once we have been sufficed, we need to get up and we need to go and glean some more. And after time with Boaz, her work of gleaning was greatly blessed. Notice verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. That is, I want you to drop things on purpose so that Ruth can glean them and leave them. That is, when you drop them, don't go back and pick them up. You leave them there for Ruth. That she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. You see how blessed her gleaning was after she sat at the table with Boaz. In closing, Ruth had gleaned enough not only for herself, but she gleaned enough to share with Naomi. And Ruth became a blessing to bitter Naomi because of Ruth's gleaning. When Naomi saw that Ruth had gleaned, she said in amazement and wonder, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou?" Ruth's response, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." Now, to my knowledge, Boaz did not walk alongside of Ruth while Ruth was gleaning. Yet Ruth said, "The man with whom I glean today is Boaz." And oh, that we could say that every day. "The man with whom I glean today is Jesus. I was in his field and things just dropped and I gleaned with him." Where hast thou gleaned today? Ruth was a very successful gleaner. Orpah never gleaned where Ruth gleaned, because Orpah was in Moab. You got to get to God's place for God's people. And even when you're in God's place for God's people, anything can happen. All kinds of circumstances can come into your life. But as long as you're in God's place for God's people, there's going to be some things dropped on purpose just for you. Just for you to glean. Orpah did not glean. Naomi did not glean where Ruth gleaned because she was bitter and never went forth to do so. So the lesson today is that in everything, God has much for us to glean. God has much for you and I. He leaves it there on purpose. He drops it right in our path. And so many times we are so oblivious, we are so caught up with ourselves, that we just walk over top of what God has dropped right there on purpose for us. And we just walk on by, never experiencing the blessings of what God has dropped right there. No matter what the situation, whether it be sickness, whether it be health, whether it be happiness, whether it be sadness, whatever the situation, God drops on purpose things right there for you and I to glean. Things that will help us. Things that will encourage us. But again, many times we just trample upon them. We just keep going. Not even noticing. We sit down, we feel sorry for ourselves, oh, woe is me. And all along, God is dropping blessings right there. All we got to do is bend down, pick them up. But we're too oblivious. There aren't very many today who are successful gleaners. But we need to be gleaning every day. And we do glean every day. Problem is, we glean in the wrong fields many times, and we glean things that aren't going to help us. We glean things that are going to hurt us. So every day we need to ask ourselves the question, where have I gleaned today? What have I gleaned? What have I gleaned today? Today, perhaps, something terrible. That is what you and I would consider terrible. Might happen in our lives. And we'll have to get through it. But the question will come, where are you going to glean? And what are you going to glean from it? Because I promise you, God has dropped some things on purpose. If you go home today, in a few hours from now, the very dearest one on earth leaves this life. God has something right there. He's going to drop it right there on purpose for you to glean. Right then and there. You may find out you've lost your job. God will drop something right there for you to glean. You may find out that you've got some deadly disease and you only have months to live. But right there, God's dropped some things for you to glean. You may go home, you may find out that your husband or your wife has been unfaithful. But even then, God has dropped something right there for you to glean. You see, in all these situations, we can feel sorry for ourselves, we can get angry, we can get bitter, or we can go along and glean what God has dropped there for us. Because He always does. That's part of Romans 8:28, everything working together for good. Oh, we need to learn to glean. And it all begins with commitment and dedication, and it begins with realizing that God has something for me to glean. So in every circumstance, in every situation, ask yourself that question. What does God have for me to glean today? I know it's here. And I know it's right here in this path. Bend down, pick up, and hold to you very dearly, closely, what God has left for you. And if you can do that every single day, that'll prepare you for tomorrow's circumstances. And you get in the habit of every time something happens, I'm going to glean. I'm going to glean what God has given me. And don't let the worldly minded come along and fill your mind with a bunch of garbage. Because you start gleaning on that, and you'll be very bitter. But glean upon what God has for you. And I promise you, He has something. Brother Larry, if you